Well, good afternoon. Plenty to discuss on the latest episode of the Star Blades. A defeat, a draw, and a derby this weekend. James, let's start with Coventry. Where did it go wrong? That feels like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it did. And it did go wrong, and it went very, very badly wrong, didn't it? Paul Heckingbottom, Billy Sharp, the other Sheffield United players that we spoke to after the game, listen, they all had their hands up and said the performance at the Coventry Building Society Arena. I keep on calling it the Rico, with all due respect to the people at that Building Society. It'll always be the Rico Arena to me. You know, they all admitted that the performance fell way, way below what is required of a team looking to qualify for the playoffs. It all went wrong pretty much after Coventry City scored the second goal. Sheffield United, as most people watching or listening to this will know, took the lead through Sander Berge. Coventry City equalised, probably not undeservedly so, on the balance of the game. And then once Coventry went 2-1 up, Sheffield United just disintegrated, to be honest. Every time Mark Robbins' side, although Mark Robbins obviously wasn't on the touchline, he tested positive for COVID-19. So Dennis Lawrence, he's got to take a lot of credit for City's performance. But every time the host went forward, they looked like they were going to score. And Callum O'Hare, who did score twice during the game, as he said afterwards, it could have been 5, 6 or 7. And I don't think anybody who witnessed that performance would really disagree with him. It could have been quite easily, but fortunately it wasn't.
Yeah. On to Blackpool then last night. 0-0 draw, which is not a bad result, but I think when you consider those two goals that were ruled out for offside, it perhaps feels like an opportunity missed. Where do you stand on that debate? Were they onside, offside in your view?
To be honest, I'm going to do an Arsene Wenger here, Steve. Yeah. The view, listen, I love going to Blackpool. I had a great time there. Hello to the Sheffield United fans that I met at the top of Blackpool Tower, by the way, while we were all doing our tourist bit before the game. But the view that you get from the press box at Bloomfield Road is absolutely terrible. I had two posts pretty much cutting a line straight the way down both penalty boxes. So, you know what? When people who probably read my match reports and read my comments on games think, what on earth was he watching there? Was he even at the game? Well, yes, I was at the game, but I was watching probably watching the side of a big metal post for long periods of it. So it was difficult to tell. I think it's fair to say that most people in the away end who did have a better view of it, it's fair to say, than those of us in the press box felt it should have stood. Paul Heckingbottom certainly felt that both goals should have stood. Sander Berger, again, he was ruled out for offside. His effort, Oliver Norwood's effort, that was ruled out for offside. Spoke to Jack Robinson afterwards, the United defender, and he's normally quite a mild-mannered guy, actually, as is Paul Heckingbottom, but both of them, Jack in particular, were furious with the decisions. He said that he'd spoken to the referee during the game and said to him quite politely, no doubt quite firmly, but quite politely, who was offside? Why did you give those decisions? And listen, I'm only getting one side of the story here. I appreciate that. So Jeff Elteringham and his assistants will probably say something else. Unfortunately, we don't get an opportunity to speak to match officials after a game. Some might think that's a good idea, particularly in situations like this. But Jack said that the ref had said to him sort of pretty much nothing. He said he didn't really answer it. Now, it's either because he didn't want to engage in a conversation, but Jeff Elteringham, for all the fact that he hacked a few people off who were connected with Sheffield United at Bloomfield Road, he always seems a pretty nice guy to me. So he either didn't want to engage in conversation or he didn't really know. He just saw the flag go up. Yeah. But I do think that there was a couple of other things Sheffield United could have done better during the game. It was a really tough night conditions-wise. The pitch wasn't great. It was absolutely bitterly cold as the wind blew in off the Irish Sea. And I just felt, personally, this is my opinion, Paul Heckingbottom and his players and a lot of fans may well disagree, and they're quite entitled to do so because it's a game of opinions after all, isn't it? But I'm going to give mine. I just think at times Sheffield United over-elaborated a little bit. I think they tried to make it too intricate on what was a really tough surface. It's difficult though, isn't it? Because when you look at the injury situation that Paul and his staff are grappling with at the moment, when he turns round and looks behind him to the bench, with all due respect, and I genuinely mean that, to Kasper Lapata, Daniel Jevison, Will Asula, there's not a great deal of experience on there. There's not a great deal Paul can do to try and change the course and the dynamic of a game. I do just wonder, though, if, although Will Asula came on for his senior debut, I know the coaching staff at Sheffield United are really excited about him, particularly after he's got over some of the fitness issues that impeded his progress about a year or so ago. They are really looking forward to seeing him. They do think he'll be a first-team regular of the future if he carries on in the same vein. It was great to see him get on the pitch. I do just wonder, though, if possibly sort of someone like Daniel Jevison could have come on just to try and stretch the game, just to go long at times. There's no shame in doing that. And I think perhaps last night was one of those occasions when Sheffield United could have been a little bit more direct.
Yeah. Positives, though. First clean sheet in five. There's something to take from that. And obviously, I know it sounds obvious, clearly there's been an improvement in the performance from Saturday if they managed to keep it.
Absolutely. You're spot on, Steve. I mean, listen, even if they'd have conceded one after conceding four, as long as they'd have scored themselves, of course, then it would have been a positive. But no, they looked defensively sound last night. So credit to the preparation work that has gone on there, because, you know, I'm sure there will have been a few nerves going into that match at Bloomfield Road after what had happened against Coventry City over the course of the weekend. So, yeah, I think all good there. And in the grand scheme of things, it might not turn out to be a particularly bad result. I know Sheffield United have slipped to ninth in the table as a result of it. But they're still only a point outside the playoff positions. With Middlesbrough and Nottingham Forest involved in FA Cup action this weekend, they've got a chance to put a little bit of distance between them, or put a bit of space between themselves and some of the other rivals for playoff qualification. And I think if Sheffield United can manage to beat Barnsley at Bramall Lane, then you've got to say 4 points from an away game and a home game, that's a really good return. So if Sheffield United don't win at the weekend, then yeah, I think that was a real missed opportunity on Wednesday night. If they beat Barnsley at the weekend, I think you've got to say over the course of the past two games, that's a pretty good return. Because Blackpool are a good side as well. They might not be the sexiest side in the division, but they're a good side. They know what they're doing. They're a team. They cause you problems. They all know their jobs. A little bit like Huddersfield, actually, I think. Although Huddersfield are obviously a lot higher in the table. But they're that type of side. So I can see why they're sort of sniffing around it, and they've possibly still got a slim outside chance of getting themselves into the playoffs. I don't think they will, but, you know, the very fact that they're still in the conversation to some degree tells you that they're a decent side.
It underlines the point you made that this could be potentially a decent result, because we're not talking about a team that's threatened by relegation, or not that that would make it any easier going there anyway.
No.
Before we come on to Barnsley, are we safe to say we're in the business end of the season now?
Oh, absolutely. Squeaky bum time, isn't it? This. Yeah. Absolutely, Steve. Yeah. So it's important to get some momentum going. It's important to get those sort of fine details right in games, possibly the type of details that could have turned the trip to Blackpool into a 3-point game for Sheffield United, because there's very, very little margin for error now towards the top end of the table, and mistakes will be punished now. Clearly, they'll always be punished during a game. What I mean by that is there's going to be very little opportunity now to actually make those up over the course of a couple of games if you do chuck away points. So, yeah, it's a vitally, vitally important stage of the season. The other thing that is absolutely vital for Sheffield United, and there is no point in getting away from this, they've got to get players back to fitness, big players. For big games, important games, you need big, important footballers. And Sheffield United don't have enough of theirs available at the moment. Because we all like to talk, we do it in this game, fans do it. We're fans as well, aren't we? You know, we're all football fans as well. But supporters on the terraces do it. They always like to talk about a plan B. I do sometimes think that gets a little bit over-egged in football, because most managers and coaches that I know and have come across, pretty much they invest everything in plan A, because if they don't think that plan's going to work, they wouldn't have spent all week sort of fine-tuning it on a training pitch. But Paul, his assistant, Stuart McCall, who missed the game, but hopefully will be back. He was taken unwell before the match, but nothing too serious, or nothing serious at all, we're assured. They don't have the opportunity, as I've said, to change games. They've got to, they have to invest everything in plan A. And if that doesn't work, I really don't think, when you look at some of the personnel available to them, some of these youngsters, they're great young players, they're real talents, but clearly because of that lack of experience, and clearly because, as you've said, we're now at the business end of the season, we're now at that point when the pressure is on, Paul and his coaching staff probably just don't perhaps quite trust some of them enough, not because of any lack of talent, but because of lack of experience and lack of knowledge. It's a big, big ask for a lad right at the beginning of his career to step into a situation like this. Some of them will have to. It's a great opportunity for them. It's a great opportunity for some of those to make a name for themselves. And I think Kyron Gordon, who's playing quite regularly now, is beginning to do that. But they've got to get some of their best players back. They simply have to. Because if they do qualify for the playoffs, just for their own confidence, just for their own self-belief, they will need people like Chris Basham, George Baldock, Ben Davis, Charlie Good. They'll need them going into a playoff campaign. I suspect they're going to need them available to actually get in. But they're certainly going to need them if they qualify for the postseason knockouts.
Yeah, 11 out last night. Obviously, as you've mentioned in a few of your stories, it's fair to say they need this international break coming up. Are we likely to see any of those who are missing out anytime soon? Do you know?
Well, John Fleck and Ollie McBurney, we're led to believe, are close-ish. But to be honest, Steve, it's really difficult to predict. And one of the reasons I say that is because I don't blame him here. I'm not having a pop. I'm not having a dig. But Paul Heckingbottom said something very interesting earlier this month, and he effectively admitted, this was before the game against Coventry City, that he'd been playing a little bit sort of fast and loose with the truth when it came to saying how badly injured some of these players were and giving information out about the exact nature of their conditions as well. Paul said, I don't want to give our rivals for a place in the playoffs a boost. I don't want to give them a lift. I don't want to give any of the teams that we're playing at the moment any more information than is absolutely necessary. So I get why he's done that, and I get why he's doing it, but it does make it very, very difficult to predict when some of these players are coming back. There's an interesting pattern developing. There's been, we all know who they are. There's been a couple of players now who, for the past 6 weeks, have been 2 weeks away from coming back. So, you know, either they keep suffering a reoccurrence at the training ground, or something's going on there. I suspect a few of these players are a little bit, their injuries, I suspect, are a little bit more serious than people are letting on. But hopefully we do see some of them back soon, and we need them back. Sheffield United desperately need them back.
Yeah, sounds like it's a case of just watch this space for the next 2 weeks or six then. On to Barnsley. Tough time to play them. This is their best run of the season. 3 wins in the last six. They identified Morgan Gibbs-White earlier today as as one to watch, one of Sheffield United's main threats. Spoke to their assistant coach. He was at Bloomfield Road last night to watch the game, which won't be a huge surprise. They also watch Sheffield United regularly, they were saying, just because of the close proximity between the clubs. Obviously, it's a derby. It's not the derby, but with both teams needing a win, albeit for different reasons, it feels like there's plenty on this one.
Plenty on it. This is a huge game. This is a huge game for both clubs. So it's an occasion that I think everybody at Sheffield United and Barnsley will be looking forward to. And I think what makes this match even more intriguing is that you probably wouldn't have said this a couple of weeks ago, would you? But I think both sides will be going into this game confident of getting a win. And you can see why. You can understand why Barnsley will feel that for the reasons that you've just outlined. Sheffield United will look at the table, and quite rightly so, and think we should be winning this game. It will be tough. Barnsley are obviously picking up. As you said, they'll be full of confidence. They will come into the game thinking that they can get something out of it. You've got to say, though, at this stage of the season, the league table doesn't lie. No. And forget form tables. You don't win anything on form tables. Promotion isn't won on a form table, but it's not won on a form table over the course of 4 weeks or so. It's over something over the course of 8 and 9 months. You look at the Championship table, Sheffield United are a better team than Barnsley. People probably screaming at their TV screens if anyone is watching this just up the road, but it's true. Sheffield United are a better team than Barnsley. That's why they're chasing promotion, not fighting against relegation. They're at home, so they should be looking to win this game. Sheffield United should win this game, but I hope Barnsley stay up as well. So, it'd be good to see them stay in the division. I enjoy going to Oakwell. I think what they're trying to do there, or have been trying to do in the past, is quite sort of an interesting project. So it'd be nice to see them stay up. You've got the added sort of plot lines of Paul Heckingbottom, of course, being from Barnsley, former Barnsley player, former Barnsley manager, now in charge at Sheffield United. Ollie McBurney may or may not play, as we've said, obviously big figure at Barnsley. There's lots to talk about before this game. There's a huge amount riding on it for both football clubs, so I think it's going to be one to really look forward to, yeah.
Final question, and I don't want to get too dramatic. Would you go as far as saying it's a must win for the Blades this weekend?
I wouldn't say it's a must win, no, because there's games left. Just the same as I wouldn't say it's a must win for Barnsley, because that sort of suggests that everybody else around them at both ends of the table are just going to carry on winning. Well, that's not going to happen, because some of those teams are playing against each other. So it's not a must win, no, but it's a game that they'll both be investing a huge lot in emotionally. I will say that. And it's a very, very important game. It's going to be a very significant game at both ends of the table, but it's not going to be definitive defining rather than definitive, I think.
Yeah, the final word for now then. That brings us to a close for this week. Thanks for listening. Make sure you check out the star.co.uk for all your pre-match coverage, as well as all the stuff afterwards as well. Cheers.